Thank you, guys. Wonderful. Wonderful. Have a seat, and thank you for coming out tonight and being with us in this explosive atmosphere of worship and praise. Wasn't that powerful? Man, I just love what Pastor Dan is doing with the worship ministry here. I am a worshiper and an intercessor and part-time other stuff, but my real passion is to pray and to worship the Lord. How about you? You know, you don't have to worry about what one of the fivefold ministry you are. You know, you could just say, well, I'm pedestrian. But I have the gift of just walking with Jesus. And I want to walk with him, and I want to love him, and I want to serve him with all my heart. Well, I want to say thank you, Pastor Glenn, for your kind invitation and just the opportunity to be in one of the most amazing, just a stellar ministry that you have here that God has really graced you with. And it's God's grace, but it's also your diligence and your prayer and sacrifice. Could we give a great big hand to our pastors, Glenn and Denise, Nick and Patty, Dan and his wife, all of the leaders of this house? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us examples that are the same way on Monday as they are on Sunday. Tired. But that just came to me. But Mondays, I don't know about your Mondays, but pastoring, you know, Mondays was like crash day for me. People would want to talk to me. I said, I don't know if I can make a complete sentence. We did 4 services on a Sunday. So I'm totally plugging into what you're all about, Pastor Glenn. We love you dearly. And I also want to just, not to offend any of the ladies, but I want you to know that the most beautiful woman in Connecticut is here in our midst tonight. She's the favorite wife I've ever had for 40 years. And I want to just honor her, my beautiful bride, Candace. Would you stand and just wave at everybody? She's amazing. She is a dreamer and a dream come true for me. So thank you. All right. I have a commission from the Lord to translate the Bible into a brand new, contemporary, non-religious filter translation that is accurate. It's not, you know, weird, stretched, or make-believe, or made up. I would not do that to the Word of God. I cherish the Word of God. I've been a translator in the mission field with the Payakuna dialect in helping translate the Kuna New Testament. And I thought, well, now that we're back in the U.S., we've been back for 20-plus years, I thought, well, God will never use that gift set or whatever that he gave me again. And then all of a sudden, recently, that desire rose up in my heart again to actually translate the Bible. And I said, Lord, you're going to have, this is too big of a deal. This is like, you don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to go translate the Bible. That's 66 books. Try Psalm 119. I mean, dude, there's a lot of verses in the Bible. And you want, an accuracy with Hebrew and Greek to be able to do this. So I said, Lord, you're going to have to make this clear. You're going to have to make it so clear that I have no doubt. Would you just speak to me? Well, he came to me. One night, in the middle of the night, in a dream, wherever, however you want to describe it, my precious Lord Jesus came and spoke to me and breathed upon me and said, I will give you the secrets of the Hebrew language. And in that dream, he gave me one of the secrets right then. And since then, I have, like accidentally, that's how it looks to me, stumbled across some of the most fascinating, incredible, revelatory truths out of the Hebrew language, and now I'm working into the Greek text with the book of Luke. But I'm just floored by what it has changed my life. If I keep talking about it, I'm going to cry because it's just powerful what the Lord has been doing inside of me as the Word of God just comes in a like a higher amperage, into our heart. So the first book I translated was the Song of Songs. It's available in the back. Please feel free to take one, and if you're really nice, you'll pay for it. But it's available for you, and Psalms will be published most likely by the end of next month, by February, the end of February. It's my goal it's already finished. It's with the publisher. We're in a final editing and working on the cover and some very last-minute things before it goes to print. But Psalms will be available for you, and then Luke I'm translating the book of Luke, worked a little bit today on Luke chapter 4. But that's where we are with the translation project. Check back in a year or two on our webpage, and we'll have more of the Word of God available for you. Would you like to hear a little piece just to see if it's something that... I just opened up here to Song of Songs 5. Here I am within you, my bride, my Eden paradise, my darling. I have come to you, and I have gathered from your heart all my sacred spices, even my myrrh. I have tasted and enjoyed my wine within you. This is the Word of God. Amen. My pure milk, my honeycomb, with its honey which you yield to me, I delight in gathering my sacred spice. All the fruits of my life I have gathered from within you, my paradise garden. Wowzies. Okay. Let's pray. Father, I just ask you tonight that you would release a fuller measure of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would truly just tear open over this place a portal in the heavenly realm, a opened heaven over this place, as it were, that you would send, as you did millennia ago, you would send the Holy Spirit upon the church with power. Give us another Pentecost at any cost. Give us another outbreak and outpouring of the Holy Spirit that doesn't make us, Lord, the same people that we were, but transforms us into the image of Jesus. Make us radical carriers of the glory and presence of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand up as I pray. Just to let's get this in here. This may be the only reason we're here tonight. It's just for this prayer to come to pass. God may just, you know, detonate something right here in our midst tonight. So let's pray. You pray with me. I'm doing all the work. You can just kind of put your faith behind this now and just put your faith with me as I pray. Lord, we ask that you would reintroduce the Holy Spirit, the missing person that's on the milk cartons and on the highway and newscast. Where's the missing person? And that's the missing person in the church. Lord, that you would release and come back. Come back, Holy Spirit, with gifts of power into the church. Come, Lord, with an outpouring that brings conversion on a citywide scale. Lord, we're asking for the detonation of glory for 2012 that'll no longer be said. What happened to all of the prophecies and visions? But it will now be said, they are now coming to pass. Lord, we claim that promise of Ezekiel 12. Lord, that the proverb will no longer be spoken. When are all the promises coming to pass? But a new proverb will be released to the church. Tell the people, it will not be delayed. It is now. So Lord, we pray for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We make room in our heart for what you want to do. Come any way you want, Lord. Come as a soft, gentle feather whisper. Come as a raging, roaring, crackling flame. Come any way you want to, Holy Spirit. Everybody say, come any way you want to, Holy Spirit. Say it again. Come any way you want to, Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, have a seat, my friends. And here's what we're going to do. I'm getting wound up. That worship did something to me. I just felt the Holy Spirit all over the room and all over us and smeared on me. Is it okay to say it that way? And I just love it. You tell Dan when you see him. He did a good job tonight. But I want to give you a Bible college level course on the Holy Spirit. Everybody's going. In 20 minutes. So if you have paper and pen, get ready to get writer's cramp. Because here we go. The Holy Spirit is known basically by six emblems in the church, in the Word of God. First of all, wind. Here are symbols of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is like the invisible power. He's a person. He's not it. But he is unseen, basically. But his effects are not unseen. The Holy Spirit is a wind. The wind blows wherever it wishes to blow. The wind that blew apart the Red Sea. The wind that blew the waters in Genesis 8 back to where they belonged. The wind that Jesus said to Nicodemus, it's a wind that blows wherever it wants. It is a wind. The wind of God, you can see it with the trees. You can see it when a hurricane comes. You can see it when the lights go out around here. The wind, don't tell me it's not real. Don't tell me that it's nothing to deal with. We will fasten our houses. If you live along the coastline or in a hurricane zone, you know what the wind can do. Mysterious, powerful, invisible. It's the picture of strength, of violence. And so the wind of God is coming to America again. When the Spirit fell at Pentecost, He came as a mighty rushing wind. Yeah, and expect that to happen again. The wind is going to blow, knock your wig right off. The Spirit of God is going to come in power. The wind of God is going to come in a hurricane force. I'm getting excited here tonight. You can look at me all you want, but I'm telling you, the wind is going to blow in 2012 all over your house, all over this church, all over the staff and the ministry and the finances. The wind of God. Second is the breath of God. The Holy Spirit is the breath. Remember Jesus in the upper room? He breathed upon His disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the sweet breath of God. Oh, to breathe with God and to receive the breath of God. My, my, my. He feeds Himself on the right things, so His breath is sweet, believe me. The breath of the Lord. Blow on me, sweet wind of God. Blow on me, sweet breath of God. The mysterious force that is seen when God creates Adam, when He creates a human life. He breathes upon them. Folks, that's what happens when you kiss somebody. You breathe into their nostrils, right? Don't make me demonstrate that, although my wife is present. But when you kiss somebody, you end up breathing into their nostrils. And so when God created Adam, what happened? He breathed into him. It's because He kissed him. God kissed Adam. And so the kiss of God releases His breath. My, you need a kiss. Some of you could really use one. I mean, you could really take a kiss tonight. Some of you look like, I was almost going to say the cover page to the Book of Lamentations, but that may be a little overstatement. But you, there's nothing wrong with you. A kiss wouldn't cure. To be kissed by God. Tell the person, no, don't tell them anything. They may decide to kiss you. Okay, the third emblem. First, the wind of God, the breath of God. The third is the power of God. The force, the energy, the dunamis, the absolute dynamite of God. When He comes to do something big, Holy Spirit is unleashed. There is a limitless, boundless omnipotence about the Holy Spirit. He can create, he can break open, He can touch a person's heart, that hard, stubborn guy that you're married to. God can bust him open, see? The Holy Spirit has a power that is not known to man. It makes nuclear power look kind of impish compared to the dunamis, the almightiness of the power of the Holy Spirit. We need that power. You know, if we don't have the Holy Spirit, 2012 is going to get really hard and boring. I don't like hard and boring. I want the Holy Spirit. So I decreed over my life, and I try every morning now as I get up to decree the Holy Spirit in my life. I believe 2012 for harvest time is going to be a year of the Holy Spirit. Espíritu Santo viene a esta iglesia. Oh, it's wrong service, sorry. But I'm telling you, the power of God, the leaders need power. Holy Spirit power to work miracles. Where do miracles come from? What's the genesis of a miracle? Where are miracles born? They're born in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon a man, comes upon a woman, and we can speak the word of God, or we can decree the blessing of God. We can lay hands upon the sick and they will recover. We can see dead raised. There's no limit to what God will do if we will yield to the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you guys, the Holy Spirit's my best friend, and He always brings me to my best friend. The Holy Spirit is what we need in the church today. It's really kind of silly to do ministry and to do this thing called church if we do not have the Holy Spirit flowing in the office, in the nursery, in the, what do we call that? The air dome? With the youth, with the sound, everything in the ministry here at Harvest Time to be drenched, saturated, full of the Holy Spirit. 2012 is going to be a year of divine suddenlies and divine surprises sent by the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe it. 250 times he is mentioned in the New Testament. I would think that's pretty important. The presence and power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the fourth emblem of the Holy Spirit is fire. The Holy Spirit's fire, hot. You know, fire's hot, folks. It burns, it consumes. What are some of the elements of the fire of the Holy Spirit? It's purging. That means it's cleansing. It's sanitizing. There's something about fire that destroys germs, that destroys impurities. And so when the fire of God begins to burn upon you, it kind of eats up and burns up and cleanses out some of the rotten stink that's in our lives. If you keep a Christian away from the fire of God, you watch. The day will come. They will not have the power to stay clean and pure without the Holy Spirit. You know, for many years, as a good Baptist minister and missionary, and we'd done a lot of stuff in ministry, my wife and I, but we began our journey as pretty hardcore Baptist people. And I was convinced that the Trinity, you all believe in the Trinity? I believed at that point in my life that the Trinity was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Bible. And I did not really have an understanding. I don't know that I could have spelled Holy Spirit at that time in our ministry. 15 years in ministry, we were in the middle of the rainforest, the tropical rainforest, the Darien province of Panama, where Colombia and Panama and all the bad drug people base their stuff, right there. In that dense rainforest jungle, the Holy Spirit came upon me. And I received something fresh and amazing from the Holy Spirit. Nobody laid hands on me. Nobody made me repeat should have bought a Hyundai or, you know, you got to talk in tongues and this is how you do it. Or nobody gave me a streams prophecy class or interpretation of everything. Nobody did anything. The Holy Spirit came upon me. And I think he felt sorry for me, to be honest. This guy's out here working so hard. You know, maybe I need to just breathe on him a little bit. And from that day on, the fire of the Holy Spirit has been upon my life. Now, there's some days that fire needs some wood or something, fuel, you know. And other days, that fire is hot. So hot, people around me start saying to me, I feel something when I'm near you, and I don't even know who you are, but I walked by you and I felt something. I said, that's the power of God. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit on my life. Wouldn't you like to walk so close to Jesus you make one shadow? And that's what God's going to do as the Holy Spirit comes upon us. He's going to put the fire, the flame, the divine essence, the glory realm fire of God is going to burn upon our lives. The next emblem is water. It's interesting. He's fire, but the Holy Spirit's also described in the Bible as water. Water, you know, how about a flood? A flood. The flood of the Holy Spirit, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the drenching, the rain of the Holy Spirit. Then we could talk about the dew that comes down from heaven, the mist, the fog, the glory cloud itself. And so water, moisture, it becomes a picture of the power, presence, and revelation of the Holy Spirit. Some of you need to get wet. You just need to get soaked just a little bit. Can I say that? You get stiff and wrinkled. You know, we're going to go on a revelation diet here. We're going to get the revelation of the Holy Spirit to give us more of his fresh drenching. Oh, I love it. Let it rain, Lord. Let it rain. Have you ever just sat in your living room or in your car, or in church and just say, oh, Lord, just saturate me. I soak my soul in your presence. I am so barren and needy and busted without you. Help me, Lord. And the rain of his Spirit comes upon our life. The next is oil. The sixth emblem is oil. The oil of the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing. It's a picture of the anointing. You know, the oil, everybody wants the anointing of the Holy Spirit, but do you know where the anointing oil came from in the Bible? It came from being pressed, the olive press. The sacred anointing oil was from olives. Maybe that's why I like olives. But anyway, as the olive press would grind out the olives and press it down, then of course they would have the oil as a base from which they would make the holy sacred anointing oil. Without the oil, there was no such thing as anointing fluid substance in the Bible. So the oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And some of us need to be squeezed really, really good for the Spirit of the Lord to come out of our lives. We all want the anointing, but we don't want the process often that it takes to bring that to pass. The oil of the Holy Spirit, it's His power. The anointing oil brings protection. It brings provision. It brings prosperity. Our cup runs over. He's anointed my head with oil. We can carry the presence, the sweet fragrance of the oil of the Holy Spirit. Life is a lot better when we're lubed with the Holy Spirit. You know, when we're just slicked by God. It doesn't matter who you are. You really look a lot better anointed. When you're grumpy and in the flesh, you don't look all that great. I don't care if you're the top model in New York. But when you walk in the Holy Spirit and you take your soul before the Lord and you say, God, whatever I've had to go through in 2011, it was to bring forth a sacred oil inside of my life. So God, I submit to that process. I say, thank you for 2011 that it's gone. And I say, Lord, I want the anointing that you want me to have from what I went through in 2011. I want the oil to come forth in my life. It's interesting that my hands at times when I pray get slick. The oil actually forms on my hand. I say, man, that's cool. That's amazing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit will give wisdom. It gives us authority to rule. Kings were anointed. Prophets were anointed. Priests were anointed. It's the oil of joy. It's the oil of gladness. It's the oil of healing. It's the oil of deliverance. It's the oil of revelation light. It was the oil that was burned in the sacred chamber, the holy place that gave light for the priests to minister. And the lampstand, or the candlestick, lampstand would be a better translation, but it was the oil that burned. And as the oil burns, it gives light, revelation, and glory. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is the ability to preach. It brings the prophetic ministry. It brings intimacy and worship, and so much more. On and on I could go. Let me tell you now quickly, the three relationships of the Holy Spirit. You guys still with me? All right, this is now we're in the second semester of the Bible College course. The Holy Spirit has a unique relationship with the Bible. Did you know that? That the Holy Spirit and the Bible are married. Did you know that? And they're never going to get a divorce. They're always going to live together. The Holy Spirit is the spouse of the Word. And the Word is the spouse of the Holy Spirit. Don't let any doctrine of man divide asunder what God has joined together. They're not going to get a divorce. They haven't filed for you know, like, ever. And they never will. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are joined and they are married. So the Holy Spirit has a unique relationship with the Word of God in that He inspired it. He breathed upon the human authors, the roughly 39, 40 human authors of our Bible. He breathed upon them and they, inspired of God or enthused by God, breathed by God, they then wrote the very words that we are in awe over and that we meditate on and we memorize and we sing in our worship songs and we preach about the Word of the living God. We would not have the Scriptures if it were not for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Word of God. People ask me, what's the best commentary to read? I say, well, commentaries are really good. I actually write some. So go make sure you buy all of mine. But the author is infinitely better than a commentary. If you come right into the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you say, I'm your friend, Holy Spirit. I want to, Holy Spirit, I'm like a cup for you to fill. I want you to just come and blow wind upon me, blow water upon me, blow oil upon me, blow your fire upon me, whatever you want to do with me. But Holy Spirit, I am yours. I am made to be a container for God. So come, Lord, breathe upon me. And he gives revelation of the Holy Scriptures, doesn't he? Without the wisdom and revelation, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, Ephesians 1, the prayer that I prayed for 40 years now, nearly every day, that God would grant unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the full epinosis, the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, that I would really know who he is. And so the full knowledge comes by the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation. He opens our eyes. He opens our hearts. And we see things we've never seen before. And how can you read the Bible and be bored when the Holy Spirit is like just dripping off of every page? Every word is just such a pleasant fruit that is ready to be processed and to be consumed. The Holy Spirit has a unique relationship to the Bible. They have entered into holy matrimony. And believe me, they're going to live forever together. The second relationship is the unique relationship the Holy Spirit has with Jesus. Holy Spirit takes people and points them to Jesus. It's amazing. We don't have hardly any praise songs that I know of. Oh, we praise you, Holy Spirit. We praise Jesus, don't we? Why is it? The Holy Spirit isn't shy or bashful, and he's not embarrassed, and you're not going to hurt him if you praise the Holy Spirit. We praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the unique relationship the Holy Spirit has is that he brings us closer to Jesus. He is the one who brings us into intimacy. He's my best friend who brings me to my best friend. The Holy Spirit is my best friend who brings me to my best friend. So who would not want the Holy Spirit? Who would not want to understand, relate to him, want more of him, and fellowship with this beautiful, wonderful, holy, holy one? His first name's Holy, by the way.
Yes.
Holy Spirit. We'll talk about that at a graduate course next time. The third unique relationship the Holy Spirit has is with you. He has a unique relationship with the Scriptures. He's married to it. He has a unique relationship with Jesus. He's like in love with the Son, just like the Father is. And he has a unique relationship with you. This is astounding, what I'm about to tell you. Here is what the Holy Spirit can do for you. Here's what he is in you. Are you sitting down? I'm so excited. Can you tell? I didn't have coffee either, man. I know this is God. First of all, he's the comforter. Anybody need any comfort? You don't need it Southern style. You need the God comfort. You don't need no Southern. Just take the comfort of God. The comforter has come. Comforter. It makes me think of what my grandmother used to put on me as a kid. The comforter is like an x-ray blanket where you'd suffocate under this quilt thing. It was so thick, you know. But the Holy Spirit is the sweet comforter. And that word, of course, as you know, in other translations, could and should be translated friend, the one that is walking right alongside of you, that will help you and will be an advocate for you. He is your defense attorney. He is, I don't know that he's a prosecuting attorney, but he's definitely your defense attorney. You don't need to prosecute anybody. You need some defense every once in a while. And he's just the sweet comforter. I thank you, Lord, that when sorrow comes to me, when the pain of life seems to kind of jolt me when I'm not prepared, which is most of the time, and when that pain comes, I have a source of comfort from the Holy Spirit. I can turn to him and I say, Holy Spirit, come and comfort my soul. And he says, I will. Just the other day, I was driving in the car feeling so horrible. It was a physical thing. I was just feeling, I had pain and issues and blah, blah, blah. I wasn't feeling well at all. And out of the blue, I heard the words, I am the God of all grace. I said, well, give me some then, Lord. Give me some grace. And instantly, the car filled with the Holy Spirit. It was so tangible, I almost, put it on YouTube. It was amazing. The Holy Spirit just came I am the God of all grace, the God of all comfort. If you are hurting, if 2011 bruised you so horribly, you've just walked through a dark valley, maybe you lost somebody that was so infinitely precious to you in 2011. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit can be a comforter to you. That just a cliche or a nice sympathy card, it doesn't do it. But the Holy Spirit can be that source of comfort. Take His presence for your comfort. Also, what about the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Aren't you glad? The gifts of the Holy Spirit. There's 9 of them. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. He's a giver. He's generous. Aren't you glad God is not stingy? Mm-hmm. How about the fruit of the Holy Spirit? The fruit of the Holy Spirit, the harvest, the Greek word is actually, and when I translate Galatians 5:22, I'm most likely going to use this word, but the Greek word is actually the harvest of the Holy Spirit. The harvest of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace. Anybody need any of this? Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The fruit, oh my. The Holy Spirit intercedes inside of us. The Holy Spirit subdues the flesh and breaks the power of addiction and crazy habits and aberrant behavior and weird thought patterns and all of the issues that kind of, that develop in the dark, the dark room, the dark place you've been in, that's where you develop your negatives. And that whole thing the Holy Spirit brings light into, and He cancels the power of sin. Have you not seen the lightning strike of God come upon your life? And the things you once did, you no longer even have a desire to do that. And it's so, then you become a crusader against some of that. You need to kind of maybe tone it down just a skosh, but that's all right. We understand. We've all been there. But the Holy Spirit has power to break inbred sin, habits, patterns, etc., hurts, habits, and hang-ups. You know, the Spirit of the Lord can help us. He reveals more of Christ within us. He takes the truth and unwraps it and unfolds it within us. The 7 spirits of the Lord. You know, you barely get the Trinity figured out, and then you find, well, the Holy Spirit's actually 7 in 1. So what do we got, 10 now? Or 9? You know, the 7 spirits of God. Did you know the 7 spirits of God are all over the scriptures from Isaiah to Revelation? The spirit of the Lord, which the Chaldean translation says the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of power, the spirit of knowledge, and here's a goodie, the spirit of the fear of the Lord. The 7 spirits of God. Now the Holy Spirit will empower you. He keeps you going and growing. Aren't you glad? The Holy Spirit is what you need. Harvest time, devote yourselves in 2012 to the Holy Spirit, and His outpouring will come to you. Yeah. Prepare a place for the Holy Spirit. You have a landing strip a mile away from here. Why not have a spiritual landing strip, a runway right here for Him to come? He's got a lot of cargo, but He'll stop in time. And He's going to come here to harvest time. He's going to bring gifts, fruit, power. He's going to bring converts. He's going to bring dreams and visions and revelation. He's going to bring the understanding of strategy, specific strategy for this church in the years to come. So let me finish with this. The things the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life personally, each one of us. Number one, He wants to revitalize our heart. Ezekiel 37:14, I will put my spirit in you and you will live again. I will put my spirit into you and you will live again. You ever been at your end, the end of your life, the end of your hope, the end of your dreams, and say, how can I go on? The Holy Spirit will come into you and you will live again. Your spirit will live again. Your hopes will live again. Your dreams will vibrate again. God will come and refresh and renew and restore you like you were a young man, a young woman all over again. He revitalizes our hearts. I'm thankful for that. Secondly, He wants to renew your hope tonight. He wants to give birth in 2012 to a new expression of hope in your life. The hope of God keeps you strong. It keeps you like Joseph through any prison, through any betrayal, through any heartache, through anything you've had to pass through. It's hope that stays alive and sustains and strengthens. He will renew your hope. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, He will make everything real to you. John 14:26. And the third is that He will reveal His sonship to us. The Holy Spirit will reveal to us the relationship we have with the Father. He's the Spirit of sonship. He's the Spirit of adoption. He's the Spirit sent from the Father. The Holy Spirit is the breath, essence, power, wind, enablement, the oil, the fire that comes from God. I want the Holy Spirit. I lost a career over the Holy Spirit. I paid a price for the Holy Spirit, and I'm not saying anything other than he's worth it, believe me. And I've had people misunderstand me. And I've been, there are times, not everything I do is God, I'm not claiming that, but there's been times where I know that I know the Holy Spirit came upon me and I was to do or say or release something, and it was not received. You know what? That happens, doesn't it? And there's a price to pay for the anointing. And God is going to help you to pay that price as a church. He's going to help you to not just become respectable, but to become anointed, to become a people that are flowing and anointed. There's a river rolling right through this church. You know that? I just found out last night or the other day that there is an underground subterranean river here. Did you know that? Some of you that are part of the church here, I'm sure you know it. Pastor Glenn could describe it better, and I sure don't want to misstate it in any way, but I understand right underneath this sanctuary, probably right here, right in between, maybe right here, bam. Maybe it'll just jump up right here while we're speaking tonight. That would be a sign to make you wonder, wouldn't it? But there's a subterranean water source right here that goes all the way down into the wetlands here, which becomes part of the drinking water for the Big Apple. And I believe prophetically that the Holy Spirit, like a river, is ready to roar and cascade through here, the cataract of His glory just racing right through here. And young people and old people and those of us in between like me, that we could really experience the fullness, the full flow of the Holy Spirit. You need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need to receive more of the Holy Spirit. You can get more. You say, well, I already have the Holy Spirit. Dude, I gave up that Baptist teaching a long time ago. Sure, I have all the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean I don't want more. I have all of my wife, but I want more. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to stay with her tomorrow. I want another day. Why? Because I know there's more to get. So with God, I have all of the Holy Spirit, but I want Him to have all of me. And I want to have yet a deeper, fuller flow from the river of heaven. Would you stand and let me pray for you tonight? I'm going to challenge you to welcome the Holy Spirit. I didn't just choose this teaching tonight because I felt it would be good. I chose it because the Holy Spirit led me to. And if the Holy Spirit led me to, then He wants to do something here. So if I say, come Holy Spirit, and He comes in power and knocks half of us down on the ground, you guys, you'd still be okay, right? Okay. What if He comes and begins to baptize you and you begin to tremble and shake under His presence? We are like leaves on a tree when He blows upon us. His strength and power is limitless. I have seen demonized, pagan, idol worshipers in the rainforest of Central America, South America, in a 24-hour period, fall on their face and weep and shake and cry, and with tears streaming down their face, say, I believe in Jesus. Papmachi, that was His name in their language. Papmachi. Papmachi. Agwagegi, you're in my heart. Jesus, you're in my heart. The Holy Spirit came over our village, overshadowed our village. We had signs and wonders. The greatest sign and wonder was to see hundreds of people go from one day, we don't want this Jesus. The next day, he's in my heart. What was the change? Holy Spirit. I've seen Holy Spirit sweep over a biker gang in Dayton, Ohio, and level them, and every one of them on their face before God. After that meeting, they begged me not to leave. I said, no, you can start your own church. Just call it they were the death gang in Dayton, Ohio. I said, just call your church Life Church. I've seen the Holy Spirit roll over thousands of people in India. And I've seen the Holy Spirit bring my stubborn, proud heart back into alignment with righteousness and truth. Lift your hands up, saints of God, beautiful saints of God. You're so lovely in his presence. You're his lovely dwelling place. You're the partner he's always wanted. You're his personality type. You're his bride. You're the one that he's preparing to rule and reign with him. But the one thing you need is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. You need more of his Spirit. So why don't you take a moment right now with your hands raised and just say, Lord, I want more of your Spirit in my life. I want more for my family. I want more for my hidden thoughts, my attitudes, my motives. I want the Holy Spirit to drench me when I go to work. I want him to drench me when I open my mouth and I speak to people, that I would speak such life-giving words in the clumsy moment, the awkward moment that we may face on Monday or Tuesday, that in that awkward, clumsy moment, life would come out of our mouths and we would set people at rest in the presence of the Lord. Lord, fill us with the breath of God. Fill us, Lord, with what Elijah carried. Fill us like Jesus, who was anointed without measure. There was no measurement of the anointing on Jesus. You couldn't measure how much. Miles away from Jesus, you would feel his presence. You knew he was in Galilee healing the sick. Multitudes, vast numbers followed him because they felt the Spirit of the Lord and the love of God upon him. And so you, beloved, you are to be filled. It is your birthright. This promise is for you and for your children, for those that are far off and as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise of the Holy Spirit is for you right now. Say, I receive you, Holy Spirit. I am a child of God. Say it out of your mouth. I am a child of God. I know that I am yours, Jesus. But you have more for me. I want all you have. I want all of your presence. I want all of the Holy Spirit. Fill me now. Fill me to overflowing. Drench me. Saturate me. Marinate me. Woo. Whoa. Whoa. Holy Spirit, I want you. Say it, Holy Spirit, I want you. I want to heal like Jesus healed. I want to see the wonders he saw. I want to love the word like he did. I want to love people the way he did. I need your Spirit. Give me the fruit of the Spirit. Give me the gifts of the Spirit. Give me the wisdom of the Spirit. Give me the righteousness of the Spirit. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit. Wow. Okay. Man, so Holy Spirit, you heard it. Holy Spirit, you're clear for landing. Come, Spirit. Come. Come to me, Holy Spirit. Just say, come to me, Holy Spirit. Come to me, Holy Spirit. Come with your fire. Come with your love. Come with your glory. Holy Spirit. Come and saturate Pastor Glenn and Pastor Nick and all of the wonderful leaders of this church, Lord. All of the elders and servants and ministry heads and teachers, those that serve in every way, Lord, in their board meetings and in their leadership meetings, let the Holy Spirit come. Let strategies and insight, heavenly insight of the Holy Spirit come. And Lord, we pray a continued anointing upon Pastor Dan. Lord, that you continue to anoint him with a fuller flow. Let this new project as it comes out in March, let it be so full, so drenched, so touched, anointed of God, that it becomes a source of blessing to hundreds of thousands. Do it, Lord. And now for each one in this room, Spirit, come. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. My best friend. You've helped me so many times. My best friend. Holy Spirit, take me to my best friend. Jesus. Jesus. My spiritual life is in you. I will walk in the Spirit. I will lean not upon the flesh or my own understanding, but I will walk in the Holy Spirit in 2012. You will have your way, Holy Spirit. I love you and I thank you.
Just so grateful for Pastor Brian and Candace and for their ministry to us. How many of you just feel filled up? Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Brian, I'm sad that you guys are leaving tomorrow. I wish you'd stay longer. I wish you'd stay longer. It's been such a sweet time together. Well, we're gonna do one more final act of worship this evening, and that's to bless this wonderful man and woman of God and to just sow into their ministry tonight. They've sown so much to us in the Spirit. I'm gonna ask the ushers if they would come quickly with some